Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Psychic Medium Sherry, Joe Pinohu, and Joel Walling. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, but also step outside the box a bit and discuss current events. Great conversation among friends. Thanks for taking the time once again to tune in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir. Sherry can't be with us tonight, but we have Joel and Michael. And we were just talking before the show started about how we're just going to wing it. So we're just going to talk about whatever. Joel and Michael, how y'all doing tonight?
Pretty good. How about you?
Good, but sore.
Pretty good. You're sore?
Yeah, I helped a friend move today.
That's always the worst. Anytime somebody says, hey, can you help me move? I'm like, yeah, I'm busy. Man, moving sucks. That's worse than going to the DMV or having to deal with Social Security. Moving is like the worst thing ever.
Yeah, I definitely second that. And it's like,
of course.
Lord, but, you know, we got him moved in, so him and his wife have our new place. I got a great apartment, but I was like, I'll come over and help. And I did get a free steak dinner out of the deal, so.
Oh, well, that's not too bad.
Yeah, you can never complain about a free steak dinner. That's just the way it works.
Absolutely. Well, not much going on in the state of Oregon. Not much going on my end. I'm sorry, Michael, what were you going to say?
I was going to ask if Joe provided the steaks or not, because Joe's got a fridge full of steaks right now.
No, actually, I didn't. I thought I might do that the next time. I went a little crazy and bought, 60 steaks yesterday from one of the, Omaha steak things. Yeah, I literally, my entire fridge, I can't fit anything in my freezer. It's full of steaks.
It's funny you mention Omaha Steaks. I swear to God, yesterday I was like, I don't know why Omaha Steaks popped into my head, but I was just curious about it, so I Googled it, and I was trying to find complaints on it. I like to go online and read various complaints about certain organizations, and I really couldn't find very many complaints about Omaha Steaks. It seems very expensive to me, but apparently they're pretty delicious, are they not?
Yeah, I tell you, I made a couple of, because I got these little fast fry ribeyes, and then I got T-bones and all that too. But man, those things, they're tender, they cook quick, and for the fast fry ribeye specifically, they are great for steak sandwiches or something like that. Those things are just incredible. I love those. I bought 30 of them.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, I might have to try them out.
It came down to $2 a steak, a little over $2 a steak. You can't beat that, really, when you buy in bulk. You got the room for it. I don't really have the room for it, but I made room.
Oh, I didn't know you could buy it in bulk, because I was looking at the prices, and I'm like, damn, get these six little steaks or some other stuff, and it's $150, and I'm like, yeah, that's just expensive. But I suppose it's probably cheaper, like you said, if you just buy an ass ton.
Yeah, that's what everything's boiled down. I get eight of the filet mignon, right? Two of the porterhouse T-bones, six New York strips, I think six ribeye. I can't remember the other cut of steak, eight quarter pound hamburgers pre-done, just the hamburger patty, plus the 30, so when you start adding all that in. And the guy cutting me actually met a dealer and he actually, you know, like had a thing set up at the mall and got a great deal on it. I can't complain, I tell you.
Well, I know I sure love a good steak, but well, very cool. What's going on with you, Michael?
Oh, not a hell of a lot. Just doing a little bit of research and here and there, and you know, trying some new gadgets out. You know, that's kind of what we do. You know, we play around with EVP a lot. We use I've been trying some different equipment out, see how it works and that kind of stuff, and just trying to stay healthy and that kind of thing. I'm still kind of pretty much trapped inside the house. I don't get out too much because of the COVID still. I haven't got my vaccine yet, so still waiting to get that. That's pretty much it.
Well, I've been, I think I mentioned last week, I paid for Discovery Plus, the channel for my Roku television, and it has like literally every episode of Ghost Adventures, and I never have really been into watching ghost shows. I mean, I'd watch one every once in a while, but I'm just kind of getting sucked into watching, you know, Ghost Adventures, which is really kind of entertaining. I do question the question a little bit, you know, how much production value going into it, you know, if everything's actually legit,
right.
But I find it really entertaining, and man, some of those episodes are especially the ones where they go to residential homes and there's like possessions and stuff like that, exorcisms, pretty heavy stuff. Have either of you guys ever run into, and maybe I might have asked you this in the past, but run into a haunting situation where, you know, there's possession or demonic oppression involved? Oppression?
Joe, do you want to take this or you want me to take this one?
Well, a true demonic case is extraordinarily rare. You know, a negative, and that's something kind of important to put out, is that a negative and a demonic are two separate things that can have very similar characteristics. Actually, I know someone personally that, and I'll never release what it was he told me, but he told me, and he actually worked, he was the investigator on the last Catholic Church authorized exorcism on the North American continent. He was the investigator for it. And as far as I know, I might be mistaken on it, but it might have been in the country, but I'm not positive. But I thought he said North American. Anyway, there is one thing that is in every demonic haunting, and I have never come across that. I have been in negative haunting. I've had attachments. I've had scratches. I've been hit. I did a house blessing one time, and I lost my vision in the middle of it. You know, that stuff, but that can be, like I said, the negative and the demonic can actually be very, very similar in characteristics. I usually have a habit of first investigation with we call it the curse of Joel, because the first investigation I do with a new team or when I set out on my own, it always ends up being, it doesn't end up being pretty. You don't get Uncle Fred, you know, Grandma and Grandpa ain't there. Actually, the person who got me into paranormal research, which was, her name was Star Anderson. She has passed away since. But our first investigation when we decided to start our own team, I have a hard time categorizing it because of everything that went on. In one specific room, we got more EVP in a three-hour period than most investigators get in their entire lives. I mean, we're talking, it was literally full of it. Music, people talking, chattering, and like it almost sounded like a busy restaurant in there in some time. You know, things like that going constantly. Choking, you felt like you were being strangled in that room. It's also the room I got hit. I mean, just, and as soon as you walked into that room, you realized you weren't welcome there. It was a very oppressive, very negative feeling area. The people that lived in the place were nothing like that. The rest of the house felt fine, but it was contained in one room. And it, like I said, it was absolutely crazy. That's why I had like such a hard time categorizing what it was, because most people who have looked over some of the stuff where I've talked to them about it agree it was probably a portal. I also had some, not part of the investigation, it was just completely bad. And I went over and was talking to the two people who lived there and going over some of the evidence and some of the things we recorded. As soon as we set up, we had like a DVR system that would not work. No cameras worked. Didn't have any problem with it before, never had a problem with it after, but that investigation and that room, they would not work.
I've done a fair amount of investigations, and I never recall ever running into anything like that. It seems like when you watch Ghost Adventures, there's always a lot going on. There's always negative. And I was thinking to myself, how come people aren't reporting like hauntings that are really positive, like loving ghosts? Why is it always all this negative shit? You know, are they not?
Because it doesn't look on TV.
So, but are there really positive hauntings mm-hmm. exist beyond television?
I actually have heard. I personally have never investigated any, but I have heard some talk about some investigators that actually I saw on another show talked about that he investigated a ghost that used to drop $100 bills from the ceiling. That's a pretty nice ghost.
I'd be down.
I would love to get that attachment. You know, they could sit here and drop all the money they want to. Of course, I'm one of those people that if I don't hear it from the horse's mouth, I don't believe it from the horse's ass. So I don't know for certain if, you know, it was all bull or what. I have heard other, Star for one, she had, and he did actually follow me. She had someone in her house, a being that he was extraordinarily friendly. He never had any trouble from him. She did give me his name, and I'm sorry, I can't remember it now because that was way too many years ago. But he would, like when I was building the original Night Stalker site and I was doing everything, I would go over to her house. I spent more time at her house than I did at mine. And he would follow me home, and I could hear him running and walking back and forth through our hallways and in our kitchen. And I'd let him go stroll around for a little bit, and then I'd be like, okay, it's time for you to go home. And I would literally hear his feet go to the door, and that would be it. And I wouldn't hear nothing else from him the rest of the night. And I would actually, after this happened a couple of times, I messaged Star. I was like, I just sent him home. And a couple of minutes later, she messaged like, yeah, he just got here. She heard the footsteps come in from her front door. You know, he was completely harmless. Like I said, it was funny. When she moved from that place, moved to somewhere else, I actually asked her if she took him with her. Because he became such, he was part of our crew. You know, when I would say hi to her, I'd say hi to him. Because, you know, I knew he was there. We had him on pictures. They had recordings, DVD from it. You know, I've heard it. It was like footsteps, things like that. And there was never anything negative at all attached to him. He was a very kind, very friendly, outgoing, he'd greet you at the door kind of thing. Like the puppy dog of spirit. I mean, it was never like anything overly, like a complete flip of the coin where it was like good fortune and things like that. But this was, he was a normal person. You know, and I was, it was weird when she moved. I asked her, and I can't remember his name now. I really hate that too. But, like, did he go with you? She's like, yeah, he moved too. So he like, she liked it, and he came and went with her.
You know, we watch a lot of that Discovery Channel, you know, because we like stuff like that. I mean, I watch more than just the ghost stuff, but, I mean, it's a great channel, you know. There's always something on there. You can find something on there all the time, pretty much. But, you know, when you look at the different investigators and the things they use, some of those guys are really, and not just men, I mean, guys, I mean, male and female, you know, everybody together. Some of those guys are really solid. You know, they do good, solid investigation. They're not flighty. They don't use goofy shit. You know, they're not finding a demon under every rock. You know, they're doing good, solid investigation. You know, basic equipment. And you know, they're in there doing it. And, you know, you got to give them props for that. And why is my damn EF feel so freaking high?
Playing with
your
new meter, huh? We got a new multimeter. Both of us got one of them. They're actually a really good deal. But it's got, we've been playing with it for like 2 days straight now.
Is it like a tri-field meter? I have a mel meter I bought years ago when I started doing this.
Yeah, this is a tri-field, but it's also got data logs. It's got a frequency analyzer built into it. And but my EF field, my electric field, my static field is reading, it peaked at 84. I mean, it's fluctuating.
Right
now. I'm not anywhere near the phone. My phone is like 4 feet away from me.
Was it doing it before the show?
Earlier, and it did 187. What was that for?
Was it doing it before the show, or is it because we're talking about dark entities?
I didn't have it on before the show, so I don't know. But it's steadily reading high.
I heard the beeping. I thought somebody might have been on life support.
No, it's just the E field, electric field. Now the EMF is fine. EMF is only reading like 0.5, and the RF is only 1.4. But the volts per meter, the static electric, is booming.
Okay, you guys talk for a second. I gotta pull my meter out now. We're gonna have a battle of the meters. Give me 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I think I'll even start mine up.
All right, give me a minute. I'm gonna pull out radiation and electromagnetic radiation, like gamma radiation. Hold on.
All right. Yeah, actually, if you listen to the Night Stalker, we talked about these meters in depth last night, and they were pretty. They're pretty cool. They're pretty cool for what they are, and definitely for the price being around 150 bucks, depending on if you can get it. Like mine, I bought mine at a discounted rate, and I got mine for 102. So, just covering the air time until Jason gets back with his meter.
All right, yeah, I'm back. Hold on. Let me power up here and see what we got going on.
Now, my Wi-Fi phone meter is off the freaking chart. Well, not off the chart, but it's high. The RF is like 21, 22.
Your RF is that high?
Yeah. That's not surprising.
If your
my
RF,
phone and I'm right by my Wi-Fi router.
Damn.
But I'm actually, Not up much, but I got to say, I am getting a higher EMF field than normal. I've never once I've tested this place, I've never gotten above a 0.3, and I'm at a 0.8.
Something's happening on your neck of the woods. I'll tell you right now, I'm dead here. I got no electromagnetic radiation, no milligausses, and my ionizing radiation is really like 10 counts per minute. I'm good, so something's coming, something ethereal or spiritual is coming on your guys' end, but I'm dead over here.
It definitely, like I said, I tested this multiple times yesterday. I showed it to a friend of mine, and now we're at 3. Okay. You know, I was showing it to a friend of mine earlier, and I've never tested above a 0.3 milligauss where I'm at right now. I mean, if I go over to, like, my refrigerator or something like that, of course it's gonna shoot up. But where I'm at right now, I've never gotten above a 0.3 milligauss, even when I'm on my phone or whatever. And it is at 0.5. It dropped down to a 0.3, but it went back right back up to a 0.4, 0.5. And, of course, like I said, my RF is 20. And it's like, it's constant.
You're getting cooked pretty good. If your RF is 20, you're getting cooked pretty good.
Whoa. We just got a big spike on that one. Actually went to a 1.0 on the EMF.
Well, some people say, you know, when you're talking about the paranormal, you're opening up to stuff, you know, and maybe.
I'm one of the people that do believe it. To be totally honest with you, I'm not even gonna lie, but yeah, I do. I honestly believe that because you're like you just said, you open yourself up to things. And they can, you know, it's weird to call them a they and things like that, but they know. They know when you're talking about that, and they're more susceptible to try to communicate with you when you're doing it. One day I'll have to break out my spirit box and try it.
My static, my voltmeter on my EF just peaked at 139. That's the highest I've seen it.
Yeah. That's pretty hefty there.
Are you sure you guys don't have any spiritual attachments going on?
Nothing that I know of.
Nothing I'm aware of. I have got a couple of haunted dolls in here.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. What last time we talked, we were talking about you just got on the doll and you didn't notice any activity. Is there any update on that?
Well,
nothing.
It is odd. Now that you mentioned it, I just ran the meter over by where the dolls are at, and the static field went to 84 volts per meter up from about 50, and the let's see, EMF's all right, but the when I run over near them because they're in cases, when I run over the cases, the EF goes up.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Now, that's interesting. Because we really haven't got anything to really talk about with those. I mean,
no.
Other than they're just pretty dull because we've just, nothing's been going on with them. Okay, what else I'm doing here? Since we do have some weird stuff going on. Sorry if you hear weird sounds in the background, but what I'm doing is I'm pulling out my REM pod. Hey, you never do. Never too far from the trusty REM pod and spirit box.
Maybe you should fire up the spirit box and see if any voices come through.
Let's do this here.
like doing a three-way investigation on the radio.
Why not? I live in a brand new house, so I don't expect to have any hauntings.
Well, yeah, but you could have the land could have haunting on it.
That's true.
It could be attached to the land.
I'm a three-story house, so I figure I have some separation. I'm on the top floor. Maybe ghosts don't go that high.
Yeah, it could be.
Uh-oh.
Okay. That's me just sitting down with REM pod. But it didn't want to work at first. There we go. Now I got it sitting in front of me. Gave off a weird smell, too. What the hell that deal was? But it apparently the red pine just decided to act weird.
We might have a manifestation live on Paranormal Horizons.
No, as soon as I start pulling stuff out to do it, my EMF field just dropped down to 0.3.
Well, my EMF, when I turned on the REM pod, I turned on the REM pod and touched the antenna with my other hand, and my EMF field went to 5, so I know it's working. My EMF spiked at 5.0.
But the RF is still really high. I'm getting spikes of like 50 and 60 with it.
Yeah, me too. I got.
Who knows? Maybe I'll end up having I'll grow a second head or third leg or something like that. I don't know.
Do you guys ever use like Geiger counters in investigations? Do you think there's any relevance to using that? Any paranormal things that can affect that? Explain that to me. I have a Geiger counter going right now, and it's just completely normal. I didn't get it for paranormal investigations. I got it because of Fukushima. But tell me about the ionizing radiation.
When I think about this, let me turn this off because the beat is driving me crazy. Think about this. You go down. You're in a house, right? You get down first. When you go into an old house, you go down into a basement, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna find radiation, that's where you're probably gonna find it. Because on the scale for the magnetic frequency, you know. I mean, you know, you have all the different types of radiation, but when you get up into like X-rays, you know, I mean, there's like in the spectrum of light. If you want to call it the electromagnetic spectrum, you've got a very narrow band of visible light. You know, the light that we actually see. It's the you know, the different colors of light that we actually look at. Is fairly low on the scale. It's kind of right in the middle compared to the other. But when you get up into like gamma rays, you know, the ionizing radiation, you know, you hit that stuff and you're getting cooked. And those peaks are closer together. If you look at them on a graph, you know, like radio waves are like farther apart, the peaks are farther apart, but on like the gamma rays and the X-rays, they're closer together. So you're getting, they're more intense. You're getting more voltage per meter over time with a shorter wavelength. And I know the radiation will mess you up. I mean, well, you'll get blasted. I mean, like Hiroshima, you know, the atomic bomb blast, you know, things got vaporized. People and things are just vaporized. That's what that radiation can do at high enough concentration. You know, and radiation burns. You know, cancer. Matter of fact, I was listening to a show on Facebook, and they mentioned that they had, and I don't know how true this is, so I can't say it's accurate, but they claim that they did tests, and like there were a higher number of people that were paranormal investigators were having more incidence of cancer because they were encountering ionizing radiation. So taking a Geiger counter on an investigation is a very prudent idea, I think. Not just to look for something paranormal, but also to make sure that you're not in some area that's got some higher level of radiation than what you're expecting.
I got mine because I was paranoid about Fukushima, and there were some YouTube videos about how on the West Coast people are getting some crazy readings. So I bought one, and I had a friend that had a nuclear stress test where they inject you with the radionucleotide, whatever, and it goes to your circulatory system, and then they take pictures. So after she had that done, I was like, oh, I'm going to take my freaking Geiger counter and see what's up. So I was meeting her at the hospital because I worked there, and she as soon as she walked in the hospital, she was setting off the radiation alarm. So I took my Geiger counter out, and man, she was damn near glowing. I mean, the counts per minute were in the thousands. And they tell you when you get that, or they told her that, oh, you know, the radiation dissipates within a day or something like that. Man, I checked her, like, for 3 days. She's still popping hot. It's not good.
Yeah, they tell you that, but there's a lot of that, they inject you with a barium and that kind of thing for those radioactive markers. They stay with you for some people. They can stay in your tissues longer than they say. And, she was going pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, the counts per minute should be, you know, pretty low anywhere you go. I think if it's over 100, it starts to becoming a concern, which the counts is pretty much every time your Geiger counter, you know, ticks. Like right now, it's at 18 counts per minute, which would be completely normal background radiation. And unfortunately, it doesn't tell you what kind of radiation. I think there's alpha, beta, and gamma. And mine checks, I believe, alpha and gamma. It's not a super fancy one. I think I paid less than $200 for it. But it is kind of a fun toy to go around your house and make sure you're not getting cooked by something.
Yeah. And also, I mean, and I've had, and Joe and I've talked about this on our show and other things, and even on conversations that we've had doing, like these leaders that we talked about that we have, they data log. So we can set them up to log all this information and transfer it onto the computer, and we can graph it. So that if you have an event happen, you know, during an investigation, say you got an EVP or a loud bump or footsteps on the stairs at like 8:05 p.m., right? And there was nobody there in the house at 8:05. You were all outside or whatever, but you had the meters in the house running, and you had footsteps at 8:05, and then you pull all the data later, and you look at the data, and it shows, okay, we got footsteps on a recorder, we got a spike in the magnetic field, we got a spike in the, you know, on the on the EMF, we get a spike on the radioactivity. You know, if it correlates, and you know you've got something. And because you can data log it, you can go back and look at different points in time and put it together better. So the more things you have that you can correlate, the better off you are. They were cutting out.
Who's still off? Here.
Did we lose Jason?
Sounds like Armin might just be putting back his Geiger counter, hopefully.
Oh.
Because I don't know if we would still be on if Jason had gone off or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wondered because I'm here.
I don't know if we're, you know, that way. I don't know if we're actually still live on the air or not. Yeah, there's some strange, I got to say, there's some strange readings on that that I'm getting.
Yeah. Like I said, I was sitting here, and I was actually noticing, and you're going to think I'm nuts, but I was actually noticing around, because I had a glass of milk in one of those red Solo cups. You know, and they're kind of opaque on them. They got the insides are white. You know, the inside of it's white, and the outside's red. And I kept noticing something like was shimmering. You know, and I couldn't tell what the hell it was. It was a light blinking or whatever. And I turned on the meter, and the static electric was just booming.
Yeah, like I said, I got my REM pods set up, although it did not want to work at first, and it gave me a funny smell. I don't know if that's a good sign or not. I got it set up, and it's in front of me, so if there's anything is moving around in here, it'll pick it up pretty quick. But that's definitely a not normal read.
You know, I don't know. I won't keep an eye on it. And then I had it spike when I put it over where the dolls are, and it went up. That was kind of interesting.
That was interesting, especially since we have really not gotten anything out of those dolls. And that, you know, not that I don't believe the person that we bought them from, but we did get them off of eBay. Not recommending anyone go out and buy haunted dolls off of eBay, but if you do, you do. I mean, that's just kind of it. You know, it's just something.
Hang on, let me see what happened. Just something in the feed. Okay.
You know, with the... It's interesting for experimental purposes and all of that good stuff, and that's exactly what we got them for. And like I said, so far, we ain't got nothing out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm well pleased with it.
I mean, that's just, you know, we can all we'll have to, maybe some of the listeners out there can give us some ideas for some experiments and stuff.
My RF is fluctuating. It just hit 61.
Damn. That's pretty high.
Yeah, I don't know what it's picking up. You know, I think I'm going to do a test tonight when I go after I get ready for bed and we get all disconnected. I think I'm going to turn my... Because I'm in the same room as my Wi-Fi router, and you are too.
Yeah.
I know, because our condos are fairly small. I'm gonna turn my Wi-Fi router off and take a reading and see what the baseline is. I bet that router's cranking like a son of a gun.
Well, I imagine.
Well, I'm sure it is. But I just don't know how much exactly.
Well, just out of curiosity's sake, if I can skillfully do this past the rim pod and not set it off or knock it over or blow it up or any damn thing else, I don't know what all the rim pod will do.
I'm like blowing up your live on the air.
And, of course, if there's a way to blow up a rim pod, I'm going to do it. Holy mother of God.
What happened?
Well, as I put my meter up to my modem, it hit 1,024.
Yeah, it's cranking pretty good.
The RF hit 1,024. The EF is at 31 and holding up 1,080 now. And the EMF is 2.1.
Yeah, you're cranking pretty good.
My refrigerator doesn't give off a hell of a lot. My TV gives off extra nothing.
You're lucky you're not seeing Bigfoot banging Elvis.
Yeah, because when I actually put it to the cable, like where that hooks up at, yeah, it's at 11:35 now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're getting juiced pretty good.
Microwave's not high EMF. EF, and the EF is 63. Of course, there we go. My work computer. I'm not too far. I have a very, where I'm at, I'm in a very centralized location for everything. I kind of work in the same area as my kitchen. But when I go back to my spot and sit down, everything drops down. You know, the funny thing is, the rim pod is not giving off any magnetic field. And I can actually touch the antenna with my meter, and it doesn't set it off.
Touch it with your hand and hold the meter in your other hand and see what happens.
Nothing in the EMF field. But my finger did set it off. But my EMF is 0.5 and holding. Yeah. But, yeah, I can actually touch the meter with my or touch the REM pod with the meter, and the meter won't set it off, and the meter did not detect. It makes me wonder what kind of net it's throwing out there. I mean, after all, shouldn't an EMF detector detect an EMF field?
Well, you'd think.
That is strange. And that is a mystery for another day.
Yeah, you know us. We're always full of questions.
All right. And that was kind of interesting. And you know, I could see one of us having a spike of a certain, you know, but you and me both, and then with Jason having a zero, that was a little unusual. I'll say that right off. So shut up. I'm turning you off. Still smells ozone. Don't feel hot, though. Maybe the battery didn't hook up correct or something when I first put it on.
Yeah, maybe.
And it kind of gave it a little back charge. Because it smells ozone-y. Nothing looks melted in it, nothing. I don't know. Things are working now, so we'll go with it.
We lose data?
I've had my... Huh?
Nick.
Jason, hey, Levo?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
I'm just having some just whacked out issues here. I tried reconnecting, and I can hear you guys, but it's not, and my mic is working. It's just not going through. So I actually called in as a guest. It's just really strange. I have no idea what's happening right now.
And here I was sitting there talking about you were having a normal mic.
Yeah, there's forces at work here that don't want me on live right now, but I'm called in as a guest.
Well, it's the kind of stuff that happens when you're live.
Well, I know Blog Talk Radio, I used to always connect via Skype, and it looks like they took that option away. So the only option for me to call in via computer is to do it direct connect, which I hate. And it obviously has issues, so I'm going to have to get with Blog Talk and see why we can't use Skype anymore.
Right. You know, the weirdest thing about when I, the night I actually ran, was main host, it was like my cell phone company wouldn't let me call the call-in number for Blog Talk Radio, but it lets me call this. It wanted me to add another, like, that long distance call. You need to add another service to your plan for that long distance call. I call in the guest line, and it's like, sure, no problem. It's the same area code. I mean, like, really? Okay, folks. I got for a damn cell phone bill anyway.
Did you guys come to a determination? Do you got spirits around? Is that why your meters are acting strange?
I have no idea, honestly. I know mine's been pretty well flat since I brought all this stuff out. Now I'm like, well, crap. Now I got all these meters and spirit boxes and all this crap laying everywhere I'm trying to put back up. Plus, I'm a coin collector. I'm a coin and money collector. And I got some new toys in today. So I had to go, look at them and go through them. And, of course, that makes you bring out all the other ones because, you're organizing them and all of that stuff. I just got a 1786 copper Duit from Holland.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, I'm here organizing. Which, actually, it's something I wanted to ask Sherry about. Because I don't know, I'm thinking she probably has dealt a little more or has maybe a little more knowledge of not really attachments, but things of that nature than I do. Because, you hear people with, and I talked about this a little bit on the Night Stalker last night, where you get people that have attachments to them and, brooches or whatever from grandma that have attachments with them. And, of course, dolls. Everyone has a haunted doll. I just think because dolls are creepy as you. I hate those damn things. But,
Yeah, you and me.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to necessarily blame the original Poltergeist movie, but I'm not saying it's completely off the hook. That freaking clown. Yeah, that was not right. I didn't mind the swimming with skeletons popping up out of the ground. Nah, that's fine. That clown just creeped me out. And still to this day does.
Well, yeah. He gets the haunted dolls and sends them to me. Here.
Well, I don't think if it was going to be a haunted, if it had to be a haunted doll, if I couldn't find anything else it was haunted, if it was going to be a haunted doll, then yeah, that's your game. I don't do dolls.
Well, yeah, But you gotta think about how it sounded on my end. We're researchers and all this stuff, and we go on investigations and we do stuff, and we have equipment and we read books and we do all this stuff, and we should test out the haunted doll theory. Okay, cool, let's do that. I'll get them and you. Well, why don't you keep them? I'm afraid of dolls. I mean, that's, just when you think about it that way. You're just a big guy. Can't do it. Well, why not? Well, I'm scared of dolls. Oh. Okay.
That's the same thing I used to get from Star when you know I would be had no fear of anything, and I'd start to go in the house, take two steps, and go, "You put that damn Marie Osmond doll up." No, I'll wait here. She had a 2 or 3 foot tall Marie Osmond. Oh my God, that doll! It creeped me out. I could. Felt this like beady little doll ass staring at me everywhere. And yeah, I would make her put that doll in another room before I came in the house.
I don't know. Just to me, that's just so funny. This big, strong, burly, beefy guy. You want to hold him in base? Just get a Barbie doll out. He's worth it. You know?
In fact, I'm like six. At the time, I actually shrunk like an inch and a half. At the time, I was like close to 6'2", 260 pounds, 270 pounds. You know, like, here's my Marie Osmond doll. Okay, I'll see you later. And I'm out the door.
So, guys, now my internet is, I don't know what's going on over here, but now my internet's died. So the show's going to die, which is fine because it's towards the end anyway. But I wanted to ask you guys. I need to get on your show. I don't know when this stream's going to end. It's probably going to just drop. But how do we make that happen?
Well, you can always contact us through the Paranormal Night Stalker or at Night Stalker Pod on Facebook and Twitter. And www.nightstalkerpod.com is up and active. You can always message anything like that.
I'll send you guys a message on Facebook. Let's set it up, and I'll talk about it. I mean, if you want UFOs as a topic, I can go over some of my crazy stuff.
Okay, cool.
Didn't I give you my number?
I'm really terrible with numbers. I'm not sure. I know Sherry has sent us group chats and stuff, but I always delete my chats.
Okay. Well, yeah, if not, well. Yeah, just holler at us on there, and I'll get you my number. That way we can, you know, like, set everything up.
Okay. I'll do that, and let's do it. It'll be fun.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for coming on and covering for Sherry. I'm going to go grab some dinner, and I'm going to try and figure out why everything's going south on my end tonight. And, maybe it's paranormal, maybe it's not.
I know that.
Yeah, I've completely lost internet connection, and, I have no internet.
Yeah.
All right.
I know that.
All right. Thanks, guys. And we'll see everybody next Sunday, 7 p.m. West Coast time. Right. Have a great week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.